It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now two guys who tried to make a run for the border but thought it was about CSS and HTML. It's Patch and Switch.
If you run for the border in CSS, do you actually run off the screen?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you could hit the edge of a box. We'd
be out of phase and different colors would start happening.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Who
I couldn't handle that.
I wouldn't either.
It's too complicated.
It is way too complicated.
And which border would it be? The warm one or the cold one?
Or would it have padding or would it have margins? I have no idea.
These are the questions one asks as a CSS designer. Is there such a thing as a CSS designer?
Oh, yes, there is.
I didn't know if there was or not, if that was something going on.
I do a little HTML and CSS stuff on the side, and it drives me batty sometimes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Nice. That's why I don't do much of it.
Nice. Yeah, this is where I'm always nervous. Are we streaming? Are we not streaming?
Well, according to the system, we are streaming.
Yes. No.
But let's check the
actual page.
Yeah, on page. It looks like we're there. Okay. I see us. We got six people. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah.
There we go.
And now we just need to mute. And
let's check.
Yeah, there we go. Yep.
Got it. I was about to say, I hurt ourselves. There we go.
Yes.
We need a dedicated person looking after the stream and the audio.
That would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
But now you're doing this.
Yes.
So, welcome back to the table.
Hello.
Welcome back to the big boy table.
I don't have to sit at the little table anymore.
No, the little folding card table.
Exactly.
The TV dinner table.
It actually kind of looks like a folding table, doesn't it?
It does. Welcome to the Patch and Switch Show, everybody. We are here. It is a Friday. It has been a fortnight since our last show.
It has been.
And once again, one of the people are not around. So, we're picking up the slack for the tall guy with good hair.
Yeah. He's just
your hair's pretty good, too, though.
Well, thank you.
I do. Do you use chutney?
I don't use
like he
chutney.
Does? He uses a hair chutney. That's how he gets his hair the way it is. His hair chutney.
No, I use pomade.
Pomade.
Yes.
Well,
not pomegranate, it's pomade.
I take a washcloth and just kind of wipe off the hat, and that's it.
Yeah, it's you just wipe off the hat. You don't wipe off anything else.
No, it's good.
Yeah. So, how you been?
I've been well. It's a glorious day outside. The sun is shining.
It is.
It is in Seattle. It is in April still, so that's a good sign.
It is.
It is 420 day.
Yes, it is.
Apparently, that has some kind of ulterior meaning if you're on the West Coast, and I'm just learning this today for some reason because of the news.
I
didn't know this. So,
you didn't know that?
Happy 420 day.
Okay. I'd rather, I preferred yesterday.
Oh, yeah? What was yesterday? 419?
Yeah.
What's 419?
My birthday.
Oh my goodness. Happy.
You don't even.
Happy
you have like how many systems that have my birthday in it?
I don't actually use Facebook. And it probably
or
would have.
LinkedIn or.
Does LinkedIn do birthdays now
yes,
too?
Yes, it does.
See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So my apologies.
Yes.
Another year under the belt.
Unfortunately.
There you go. it's a good thing when another year goes by.
Exactly. I survived one more trip around the sun.
Trip around the sun.
Here we go for another.
One more performance review under your belt too. That's good.
Yeah. I gave myself a horrible review too.
Wow. So I will spare everybody from having to go off and sing happy birthday. Because we don't have the money to pay the rights anyway.
Exactly.
So, happy birthday. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Wow, man. Jeez.
Yeah.
I feel like an absolute heel.
Yes,
about
you
the
should.
Fact that I didn't even say anything to you. I guess that means we have to go off for beer and have a drink.
Until next week.
What's happening next week? That's when you're off your
I'm
meds?
I'm getting out of here today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I'm going as a part of my birthday. A friend
right?
of mine said, hey, we're going to go up to the San Juan Islands for the weekend. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice. It's going to be good weather for
it. It's going to be great weather for it. Are you kidding me? It's going
to
be awesome.
So there's like a beer competition going on tomorrow, man. The Homebrewers Association. The keg drop-off one that we do.
Right. The actual comps tomorrow?
The actual comps tomorrow.
No. Well, sucks to be them.
He's off on a boat somewhere.
I'm going to be on a boat.
Wow.
Or a ferry.
Wow. We'll do a whole episode of just catching up with Jared Shockley.
There we go. And I actually did just make a run for the border.
You did?
Yeah, I was up in Vancouver.
Up in Vancouver?
Vancouver.
Successfully
talking.
That's some very good comments and reviews.
I had a lot of good comments and reviews, yes.
Good.
Unfortunately, most SharePoint Saturdays don't have a official like scoring system thing, but yeah. If you talk with the people, they were just lots of people, good questions.
You do them to support the community and share your knowledge,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. As I've said a couple times in a couple of different settings, that's how I got my start, was going to things like SharePoint Saturday and Tech.
Right.
So, wanted to give back to the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was, you invited me to that one.
Yes.
I didn't snub you, just so you know.
Oh, sure, I didn't snub.
No, I didn't snub you.
You just forgot.
No. I was looking after my significant other, who threw her back out last week.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to look after her and do all the sports activities on Saturdays instead of splitting them up as we normally do.
Okay.
But I swear, man, like, whenever you speak in Seattle, I'm there.
I don't get a lot of speaking slots in the Seattle way.
Man, we need to find you some.
Hey, why don't you
this
give
is
me a
officially
slot in
the
Ignite?
Let's find a slot for Mr. Shockley. At Ignite, if I had control over it, I would.
Right?
I would absolutely give you a slot at Ignite. Absolutely. For sure. If I had control to give anybody slots, I'd give them slots for sure.
I hear you.
Who do we got in the room today, man?
Well, it looks like we got Pierre Roman. Now I'm curious if he's laying down on his couch. I mean,
yeah, he's definitely here, and
yep.
he had a new office mate. One of his
dogs,
beautiful dog, was just splayed out on the couch.
Exactly.
And so I'm like, I don't know how you get work done with a puppy lying on the couch next to you.
Kidding.
We got also Mr. Anthony Bartolo. We got Julia Hunter. Thiago Costa's joined us again today. We got
joined us from Frankfurt Airport.
Yes, very nice.
Very nice.
We have Chuck Cocker's there. Aubrey Moen. Jason Miller's here too. That's nice.
Jason Miller, awesome, great.
And Aubrey, you know, we're slowly picking up on those numbers.
Exactly.
We'll see. You know, we got to get better on the socials. You know, that always helps.
That does. And you know, maybe I should change that flow so it doesn't kick off on Thursday. Maybe it kicks off on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Reminding us of the show.
He literally has this. We have a private team channel
yes.
on Microsoft Teams internally for all the contributors and financial sponsors to the Patch and Switch show. And basically, it's just Jared, Joey, and myself. I think Golnaz might be in there, too.
Golnaz and Denise and JFlow.
When did you let all these people in?
You let them all in.
No, Joey did. Well, I didn't let them in.
Because it's great to have them in.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's nice to have Golnaz helping out.
Yep.
That way she knows when we have our shows.
And she knows when to kick us out of the studio.
Exactly. And I know Denise has done some work with you guys in the past. We're getting ready for some of the bigger shows like Ignite and
yep.
such. And then JFlow obviously helps out when we need a hand. Yeah,
you got it.
Exactly. He's always super helpful. So
that's also where I normally ask on Thursday, what's the show name?
Yes.
To be able to make the reminder inside of...
And there's now a tab in there for show names.
Yes, because I asked so much.
Yes, I've pointed, and he still asks.
Of course.
Just
it's easier. It's sometimes easier to ask the human.
In fact, it's easier to ask the human. You know, are you going to make me make a bot to sit in the channel so you could ask the question and then have the bot answer what the show name is?
I'm already envisioning the bot.
Okay. You know, it's gonna speak Canadian. Sorry.
Translator.
Sorry, the...
Sorry, you don't know the show name.
Okay, I have to at least say this. So driving through Vancouver last weekend, beautiful. It was cloudy. It was a little rainy, but it wasn't too bad. We're coming up on Friday, going into Vancouver, and we go by a bus. And I'm not joking. The bus on the back said out of service, and you drove up on the side, and it said, sorry, out of service.
Of course.
It actually said, sorry,
..
out of service.
Yeah.
And I'm like... What?
It's a lot better than the ones here in Seattle. Let's say F you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yes.
So, man, so we start to show off. We had our introductions there. I'm trying to follow our official schedule.
We have an official schedule.
Yes, we do.
This show.
The first segment that we talk about.
Oh, okay.
From the trenches.
From the trenches.
We don't have a sound. Oh. We just talk about it.
Well, the sound guy's gone.
Are
you going to make me become the sound guy?
I don't know.
He's not
I'm just glad you're here, Steve. It's awesome. So
that's
perfect,
Steve.
Hey, we all. Well, you have to keep the name Steve because Joey and I switch off on who's Patch and who's Switch. So let's do it that way. I think abstraction. It's called.
Okay, Bill.
Abstraction. That works.
Patch and Switch with Bill and Steve.
Do you have any from the trenches stories you can share, man?
Can I share them? That's always the question.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've got one.
Go for it. What's going on these days?
Well,
something you can actually talk about.
I can actually. I've got two of them actually. The first one I'm talking about is about docs.microsoft.com.
Okay.
It's always everyone's favorite documentation platform.
Isn't that where JFlow does a little work?
JFlow does a lot of work inside of there.
He does. Okay.
That's also where I've cut my teeth and various body parts on trying to get commits to work and work out merge conflicts and stuff like that. That's where I cut my teeth on Git for sure.
Okay.
It's now translated over to working with obviously source code and checking in scripts obviously. And things like that. But I've been working up there because a seldom acknowledged, I guess is the proper term I should be using. Seldom acknowledged, not double negative. Feature and functionality inside of Azure called extensions.
Yes.
Extensions and agents.
Yes. Broke on me yesterday.
Well, you know, the extensions and agents are something that you typically will be deploying on almost every single system you deploy inside of Azure.
Right.
Both in a PaaS world as well as in the IaaS world.
Of course.
So one of the guys on my team, Daniel Soule, is the PM for extensions overall for how they work on the platform. And then he has to partner with first party and third party extension writers.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to say, hey, man, this isn't working. It's causing deployment issues. Can you fix this? This is the percentage that it happens and going on, stuff like that. He and I are doing a double-headed effort on actually revamping a much-needed revamp of documentation around extensions.
Okay.
So we're pushing to have that done before the end of the month, which is coming up quickly. it's going to be kind of very, very cool, but it's forced me to go through and relearn a bunch of stuff about extensions I never even knew about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also made me start to go along and get my teeth wet. Doesn't make any sense. I'm getting my feet wet. You know what it is? It's because I don't have any coffee. I'm drinking this coconut water. Because I came in late.
Thank you. Okay,
I didn't get a chance for coffee. It's my fault, for sure. Anyway.
Because he's like 4 minutes left. Do you think I have time to brew some coffee?
Yeah, the coffee machine doesn't brew it that fast. No. Anyway, trying to say, it's got me back into doing some PowerShell stuff, which I haven't been doing in a long time, man. In a long time. Oh,
ASMR.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks for that coffee.
Hey, guess what? It's decaf, so don't worry about
decaf,
it.
Decaf, yeah. Anyway, so I've been working again with PowerShell.
Nice.
Then playing around with PowerShell in the Cloud Shell, which is always fun.
Very nice there, yes.
I was able to use the drag and drop file copy option. Didn't even know it existed, but then I remember my good friend Justin talk about it at one point in time, and you literally can just simply take a file and then drop it inside, like my script.
And then drop it
inside the Cloud Shell window, and it just copies it up to your cloud drive.
Exactly.
Where it happens to be. Coolness.
It is. There's only one thing I would really like ask as a...
For Cloud Shell?
For Cloud Shell.
Yeah, yeah. Let me take it to the PM, because I know him. He's down the street from me.
There's either one of two things would be great. Either Git installed, so I could get something from a repository.
Oh, yeah.
Or connection to OneDrive. Either one.
That's it. Well.
And the Git would be probably more useful than OneDrive.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Because
do you know if there's a user voice on it?
I don't
user
think
voice
there is
entry?
One. There's a user voice?
There is. There always is. That's interesting. I never thought of that. I'll have to ask why it is or why it isn't.
Yeah. Wiring minds want to know.
Yeah, because you've got both the obvious Bash in there. You've got Azure CLI, and you got PowerShell as well. But on the Azure CLI side and on the PowerShell side, we always go through like a 2-week refresh cycle of making sure everything's up to date inside of there. We also have Terraform. We also have Kubernetes kubelet type things.
Great thing.
So you got lots of little add-on stuff.
Right.
You
know, the great thing about Git is I know my group, we check in all of our PowerShell and all of our anything that we use for scripting and automation has to be checked in.
So basically you could then clone it down to your environment and use it there.
Exactly.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask and find out why.
See if it's possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I was doing the other day was, again, with the PowerShell side of things, was one of my old jobs, one of the jobs that I do when I first came over to engineering, was I publish images, which is still kind of crazy. The fact that I'm able to take an image.
Disk images. I'm sitting here thinking you're uploading pictures. What, cats? Dogs? Dogs.
My daughter keeps on saying my Instagram account is just nothing but puppies for my lovely dogs. But nice. She's like, you have more pictures of dogs than you do of your kids on your Instagram feed. I'm like, well, that's the way it is.
Did you say the puppies are cuter?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
Are
they?
I'm not answering that question. I take the fifth, Mr.
You take the fifth.
Mr. Prosecutor. The other thing I was doing is I'm publishing images. And so I had to do some image cleanup of some images that are no longer in use anymore.
And I go back to the pictures. You had to get rid of some evidence?
No. There's no evidence that's going on right there. But it blows my mind, the fact that I'm able to go in and publish images and remove images as part of my Azure account, which is tied to a publishing subscription.
Yeah.
To be able to do it. And then the way that you go off and you actually publish across all the, we're up to 40 production regions now? 50 announced. 50 announced, 40 alive.
Yep.
And then you get emails saying, yeah, please make sure if you're a publisher that you have images in the new Australia regions that are online. I'm like, what?
Yep.
I don't even know how to keep track of this.
Exactly. I think you need to go down to Australia to track this.
I should probably check them.
And you need some help.
There was a thread earlier, a while ago, about trying to get me down to Australia along with Paul Thrott ages ago for doing stuff. And that's weird. My video streams did something weird on Facebook. I don't know if that's...
My video stream is still going live.
Okay, well, blame me because I did something, I'm sure.
You probably touched it.
I don't know what I did. Anyway, publishing images, the stuff you have to go through is rather interesting.
Yeah.
And I had to use PowerShell for it.
Nice.
And so, it reinforced the fact that if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yes.
And you have to continuously just go back and revisit the stuff that you know.
Oh, God, yeah.
To be able to refresh and remember how to do stuff. Because I was so... It made smoke come out of my ears at one point, trying to remember the freaking format of... I caught myself there. The format you're supposed to use.
Where's the dump button? Where's the dump button?
Yeah, to be able to do the proper publishing stuff that goes on. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
those are two of the big things I did just recently.
Nice.
There's a bunch of other stuff that I still can't talk about that I hopefully will be able to talk about soon.
Yeah.
Probably going to be post-build.
Yeah.
Because timelines for stuff. But yeah, build's coming up. And talk about that too. But how about yourself, man?
Well, last week I was what we call our primary DRI, which is directly responsible individual. So I was the one having to put out all the fires.
It still freaks me out that you have responsibilities.
I know, right? So, I mean, I'm scared every time. It's like, I'm in charge of all the build and the cloud build and test systems for Microsoft for a week.
So nice. Oh.
But when you're primary, I mean, your primary goal is to respond to SEV2 outages. It's like the big outages.
Right.
So you don't work on the smaller stuff.
So this just for our listeners' benefit, this is SEV3. Which means you'll get to it.
Yep.
Eventually.
SEV4 is.
Oh, I didn't know there's a SEV4.
Oh, there's SEV4. SEV4 is one of those. Okay, if we get to it, great. If not, whatever.
It's in the backlog.
Yep. SEV3 typically is like it's only affecting one team for us. It's only affecting one team or one build queue, and so unless that build queue is like trying to push out a hot fix, then it gets raised to a SEV2, which is normally a whole org, or potentially that kind of thing. And then we have SEV1, which for us is we lose a whole region of build machines.
Right.
And my prior week on call, I had a SEV1 and I lost a region.
Wow.
I didn't lose it. Somebody else lost the region.
So the big weeks get notified about SEV1s.
Oh, yes. But the great thing about our SEV1 was we started looking at our telemetry and we're like, hey, I think we lost a region. And we started going through all of our builds and stuff. And a few queues were having problems because they did something like what they we have in our system. They can pin it to a specific region and say, only build in this region. And they chose that region that happened to be dead. But everybody else was set for multiple regions.
Right.
So when that one region went offline, they're like, okay, they started building another region. Big whoop.
Nice.
And so the best part about it, I'm working with one of our program managers next week. We were supposed to do a disaster recovery drill with that environment, the cloud build environment. And I'm like, we just lost a region back in February. And he goes, you got all the paperwork around that? I'm like, yeah. He goes, perfect. That's your disaster recovery drill. All right. There we go. So we can actually use an actual disaster that went well as our disaster recovery drill.
Good.
To show that everything's working.
Everything's able to switch over. It all worked. How much downtime was there?
We lost the data center for 5 hours, and we only lost 120 builds that restarted, except for we had one organization because they had their brand new
just getting started
Gen 5 big badass big servers in the region that went out.
Yeah.
And they're like, "We'll wait." Because their builds on other machines. The builds on the other machines like would take 3-4 hours. On these new servers, they take like 30 minutes. So they're like, "Yeah, we'll wait. We can suffer through the outage for the day."
Nice.
And the data center got things. Actually, they got it back up in 3.5 hours, which was pretty good. It was a power outage.
Yeah.
And it was a massive power outage. Hmm. Unfortunately, it also found some single points of failure in the system.
Sometimes things are good. You can't do that kind of stuff in a drill all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Good.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of belated birthday wishes and everything there.
Well, thank you, everybody. You know.
Mark Fleming's joined us. Peter Gray's also popped in and out of training.
Yep.
I believe Julia said happy birthday to you as well.
Yes.
And others.
She also had a good idea to make the bot have your hat.
Oh, it's the icon.
We can have the hat bot.
Well, then you have to put in the level of sarcasm that comes with the hat.
Oh,
too.
Yes, we would. Is there a cognitive service for that?
There probably is. Yeah. Cognitive services of the Rick Tilly hat.
So the other thing that we do, though, both the primary and the backup DRI, if there's no active live site incidences, we do proactive work. We're the ones that are doing monitoring or monitoring updates or whatever. We actually have had a problem lately of just a whole bunch of extra resources.
Yeah.
So my backup and I, primarily my backup last week, he was going through and cleaning up everything. So we're going to actually try and we were thinking about going into, we have an internal system called HeadTrax, which manages all your personnel information. We're going to change our titles to senior internet janitors. Nice. Because we were cleaning up so much information off of. I mean, we found old copies of servers and it's like, and Azure subscriptions, like, why do we have this server in here? I don't know. Delete.
Nice.
It wasn't even running, those sorts of things. We found a whole bunch of servers. We found key vaults with old certificates from like a year and a half ago that are way out of.
We used to call those maintenance engineers as when I was in the janitorial business for one of my summer jobs. We were called maintenance engineers, structural maintenance engineers.
Exactly. So we were going to be the internet maintenance engineers. So
nice.
Yeah. It's amazing how much.
IME.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing how much can clutter up.
Oh, totally.
And one of the worst habits IT people have is, well, I might need that, so I'm going to hold on to it. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And we're trying to purge ourselves of that habit.
Well, part of that was stuff that I was doing for image publishing was removing a whole whack of images that didn't need to be there.
I was wondering.
It's like, it's just getting rid of these images that haven't been.
Like a 2003 server image.
No, there's some 2008s in there.
Yeah.
2008s were in there. Then there was a bunch of other old images that were taken down.
Yeah.
When you deploy an image from the marketplace, you can see that you can click on it and off it goes. They haven't been in marketplace for a long, long time. The only way you could deploy these images was if you knew the exact URI of the image, which is the SKU, the offer, the version, information, long string. If you didn't know that, you couldn't deploy these things.
Exactly.
You have to eventually clear them up because it is taking up storage space.
Oh, God, yeah.
So literally I had a person knock on my door because I wasn't reading emails that said, hey, I sent you an email and I've sent reminders every week for the last month about why you still have these X number of images that are sitting around inside of 28 of our data centers.
Yeah.
Get rid of them, please.
Get rid of them, please. So,
it's all about cogs, man.
It is. That's one of the other things that I was actually looking at this week was taking a look at. We've moved a whole bunch of services over to PaaS.
Yeah.
And with the amount that we've saved on server costs, both physical hardware costs for the on-prem that are now gone, as well as Azure servers that we got rid of. It's just amazing.
Right.
So I'm just shocked.
How about How about scripting and automation for systems for stuff? I asked this because in one particular subscription that I'm working with a partner right now, you know, I've given the partners contributor level access to certain areas.
Right.
They have the ability to go off and create machines of different sizes. We're not using an overall structured framework like Dev Test Labs where you can actually restrict the sizes of machines that they're looking at right now.
Right.
So, you know, I'm looking around and my buddy who's working on the project with me tries to deploy a new machine and says, sorry, you've hit your quota count. You can't do that for cores. So I'm like, I just go back and look at the machines. I'm like, who's deploying these machines? And I'm like, oh. Maybe we should have those shut down and just not being used right now.
Yep.
So I know you can do auto start, and you can do different routines to query your things and shut them down.
Right.
Do you guys use that an awful lot in yours as well? Or does the system look after that just by default?
In our world, we don't, because most of the stuff we have is running 24/7.
Right.
When I was over in MSIT, we were definitely doing that. In fact, we had an internal system that we were using, but we were coming up with a way to do that. And then we were talking actually with the product group saying, hey, this is what we're doing. You guys want this to give to customers.
Nice. Yeah.
And part of it was going to be scheduled.
Yeah.
You know, start time, stop time. Part of it was also based off of, you know, we had a lot of devs that would come in, turn on their machines in the morning, and then they get stuck in meetings all day. Mm. And then we detected for CPUs at less than a certain threshold for more than an hour, and it would shut the machine off.
Oh, yeah.
Saying that it's an unutilized server.
So unless there's cranking going on, get rid of the thing.
Especially dev, anything marked that was dev or test.
Yeah.
And then we had a
with
different
tags?
With tagging. And then we had a different threshold for PPE and a different... and we even had on production servers.
Oh, yeah.
Certain production servers. Like there are certain services at Microsoft that are only needed during Redmond business hours.
Everything you're talking about sounds like a great topic for a subject to make a presentation on.
It would be.
We should do that.
We could talk about it.
Sometime.
Yeah.
I like that.
Then again, I'm more into PowerOps and Flow. Just kidding.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure you can have an angle to put PowerOps and Flow on there too.
Oh, of course. But I mean, it's really easy when you start getting into some of these things. Obviously, DevTest Labs help.
Well, DevTest Labs has that entire environment.
Yeah. But this allowed you to work outside of the DevTest Lab.
Right, right.
And have it tie. And we used a lot of tags. In fact, we tied it almost all to tagging.
Right.
And then it would execute checking tags and say, oh, okay, go.
And you can set up tags to auto-populate based on group membership with policy and that sort of stuff.
There's a whole bunch of things there, yeah.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, recently, I was trying to deploy some servers, and you talk about extensions, like all the extensions blew up on me. Like, and I can't deploy these servers. I don't know what's going on. So I've been fighting Azure servers all week this week.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the few days that I've been at work this week.
Nice.
I was sick most of the week, so.
Your shoulder's better.
My shoulder's feeling better. I'm definitely...
On the mend?
On the mend, but definitely nowhere near 100%. So, like, not going to go out and play golf, not going to go fishing or anything.
Oh,
but
it's good.
Yes. Can't really... I don't even think I could lift a boil pot of beer.
That's a serious injury if you can't do that.
That's a serious injury, yeah.
Exactly. I've got some brake rotors and calipers in the back of the Jeep you could help me lift out.
No.
It's a two-person lift.
I understand. No.
Come on.
You need Pierre for that one.
Nice. Oh. So how about our next segment, which is from...
From the trenches.
So,
beer money.
What is it? Beer money.
Beer money.
Beer money. Tech beer support for friends money. And family getting things money done. Beer. What have you done recently, man?
I actually just helped my sister yesterday.
Up in the cottage lake again?
No, this is the house.
Okay, the primary residence.
Yes, the primary residence. I got a text from my sister. Happy birthday. Hey, we're having a problem with the Wi-Fi network.
Oh. Did she at least have like a pause or was it the same sentence?
She did have a space.
Okay. At least a space.
Yeah. So it was like, happy birthday, you know, return. We're having a problem with the Wi-Fi.
Oh, man.
And the funniest part is, okay, I'm talking with her about it, and I'm like, okay, so where's the problem? Because I thought I had set up a pretty good mesh because I got her one of those Ubiquiti Unify.
Right.
The home, you know, the
cube version looks nice.
Cube version, and it has extender kind of things.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to call them extenders. They're repeaters. They are full-on repeaters.
Totally.
And
it's mesh.
Yeah, it's total mesh. I'm like, so where's the problem? She goes, well, we can't connect the new washer-dryer to the network.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm like,
wow.
So she's actually buying a repeater for the basement.
Just to make sure.
Just
it's
to make
happening.
Sure it can get, because she's got an app on her phone that yeah. she can totally do, you know, manage the washer and dryer and see stuff and on her phone.
Wow.
I don't know what to say, man. I don't know what to say.
Is her fridge connected too?
I don't know yet, but I'm gonna guess soon enough.
Soon enough. It's soon enough. Be there. So, is the level of technology in her house higher than what you would normally expect to see? Like, it, is
yes and no.
Where's it coming from?
It's
is it from her?
No, that's the whole family. They have an Amazon. They have the Amazon Voice Services devices.
Right.
They have TVs that have both.
It's like, Alexa, remind me when the dryer's done, or something like that, right?
Yeah. Even though I've told you that joke, haven't I? I was in a business meeting. And someone was at home and on a speakerphone device in their house, and I knew they had an Amazon device near their desk.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the meeting, I just screamed out, "Amazon, add toilet paper to the shopping list." And you could hear the device in the background.
Okay.
Adding toilet. And the guy's just, "Jared, stop that."
Nice.
Yeah, I'm a nice guy. No, she can't. Pierre, I just saw your question. No, she cannot load the washer over the Wi-Fis.
You know what? I would pay a gazillion dollars if someone would fold the laundry after it's done.
My sister would probably just send the kids downstairs and say, load the washer and dryer. No, it's not that's not automated yet, but... I the level of devices they have is amazing, yet it's also kind of scary because they have so many devices and they're all on one network and it's all,
We're going to talk about that. We were going to do an episode specifically on how to segment and partition your network for the Ubiquibi world.
Well, I set up my network and I'm super happy with mine.
Right.
So I actually have and this people come into my house and they just look at me and probably facepalm. I have 5 SSIDs in my house.
Right. And just so everybody knows, he lives in a condo.
1,900 square feet,
and he's got 5 different SSIDs.
SSIDs, yeah. Well, wow. Technically, I have 5 base SSIDs, and then on 4 of them, there's a 2.4 and a 5 gigahertz.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm
he's probably... basically consuming all of the radio space.
Dude, there's like 40 SSIDs. If you fire up a device at my house, there's like 40 SSIDs.
Right.
And so
in napkin form,
yes.
What are the 5 for?
They are for... I have a separate SSID and, if you will, VLAN for my Xboxes. So they have, and they have QoS.
So that way they get priority for streaming
quality
content,
service for streaming
and for
everything. Yep.
For game.
I have my own private Jared Wi-Fi
network.
Channel. That's the Jared network. I have a guest network.
Of course. And that one there has a paywall on it that's asking for donations.
It isn't.
You can put up a pay page.
I could, but then people like Julia would kick me in the butt because she always calls me, why do I have to deal with the net nanny every time I come here?
Nice.
Because that's what she calls my firewalls.
Nice.
I have one for the IoTs.
Yes.
Totally separate. And then I have one last one that... I dropped that one.
You don't have Sonos, do you?
No. Nope. I don't use Sonos.
Right.
They're too expensive.
Well, Sonos needs to have its own kind of thing too, right?
So
I would probably put Sonos on the same as the IoT / Alexa devices.
Except if it has to access the computers.
Well, I don't have music anymore that's on premises.
Right.
All my music's just from different streaming services.
Well, see, and the great thing for me is the IoT network is totally separate from everything else.
Right.
It just goes to the internet. All my lights right now, I got a whole bunch of those, the Wi-Fi controlled power
switches
outlets.
Or lights?
The switches.
Okay.
So the wall switches.
Yeah.
Once I get it all set up on the network, I can turn on and off lights.
Right.
And at first I was like, okay, I'm going to try this.
It's addictive.
I have gone full in on this.
No, it's addictive.
I mean, to the point, I know, and actually Julia's been hanging out with me this week, and she's like... I even set it up in the guest room. I'm like, okay, I give you guest access to the lights and stuff. She goes, what about your bedroom? I'm like, no. Because I don't want you at 3 in the morning going, turn on the lights.
Nice.
But, I mean, I have 2 in the guest room. I have all the lamps in my bedroom, all the lamps in the living room, all now set up.
Right.
And I can use an app and turn them all on and off as I want to, or as a room or individually. And then what's even worse is I started playing around with things. Unfortunately, Flow doesn't work with location services too much yet, nor with the smart home service that I have. But if this, then that does. And I now have a couple if this, then that recipes of when I leave, it shuts off all the lights.
Oh, nice.
And when I come back, it turns on the living room and my bedroom lights.
Right.
So I can walk into the house and the lights are all on.
See, that's just cool.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. I've got too many lights in my house. Too many switches, too many lights.
Nice.
But I will eventually be getting there.
Yeah, it's super helpful. It really is. And then if you're already into the Amazon Web Services or the Google Web Services, the Google Assistants or whatever, the voice services, tying it to where you can just say, you know, my sister does that at her house. I can hear her in the background sometimes where it's just, you know, turn on this. And, you know, she's speaking to the Amazon. I'm like, what's going on? Oh, I'm just turning on the lights for the kids or something.
So my issue is that I resolved with the recent birthday of my twins was that one of the twins kept on taking the Alexa device.
Yes.
Up into her bedroom because it's a speaker.
Yes.
Because she likes to be able to control music with her voice. And so I'd be downstairs in the kitchen. I'm yelling, Alexa, start a timer for 12 minutes. And she, Alexa. So yeah. I'm setting everybody's off right now, of course.
Exactly.
But it's just flying all over the place. And so I'd be yelling at nothing. It's just my kids too. Yell at the kids and they don't answer. Same thing. Now the smart devices don't answer.
Exactly. They're
not there.
You should be used to this.
It gets to it.
You should be used to this.
It gets annoying.
The other thing that was nice for me, though, was as we were out of town, I was like, oh, I forgot to do timers for my lights. Just
pretend like you're there?
I was able to set everything up on my phone.
Yeah, of course.
I was just like, okay, boop, boop, boop. And now they're programmed in, and I have them shut off now, but like I can turn them on again. It's nice. It's just – it makes things so much easier. It
does. Yep. Imagine the world where we didn't have any of this.
Oh, I can imagine it. I've been there. I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This actually brings up a side topic of interest. Just get your thoughts on this in case you have any thoughts on this or not. How about that Microsoft Sphere announcement? That was literally on Tuesday.
Yeah. That was unheard of.
That's cool.
I was excited after I heard it and did some
initial research on it.
Yeah. I am super excited for the capability, what it can do. It really, you know, when you take a look at kind of, you know, I've been listening to a few podcasts and stuff and people are talking about the, you know, the different waves of technology and like, you know, the initial wave was PCs and, you know, Microsoft really was at the lead on that. Well, in the mobile waves, Android and iOS has been in the front on that. The next wave is IoT.
Yeah.
And this gives us a chance to jump out ahead of everybody, especially from the standpoint of...
We're leading with security on these things.
We're leading with security.
Yeah.
That's my biggest concern. That's why all those devices that I have in my house...
Are segmented off.
Onto a network that is totally separate, has a totally separate SSID from anything else in my house. There's no way they can jump the network.
Right. So
hopefully
for those of you that have been asleep under the rock or something like that, Microsoft Sphere is a system on a chip. That is basically a Linux kernel.
Micro Linux kernel.
It's a micro Linux kernel.
And
it's not a distribution.
Nope.
It's a kernel.
It's the kernel.
That basically is able to go on to a system on a chip.
Right.
To be able to be used for internet powered devices.
Exactly. And
completely manageable and secure.
Exactly. One of the cool things about it, though, they're going to have a core for the OS and a core for your app on that system on a chip. So there's segmentation, even the app from the OS.
Of course.
As far as CPU and memory and everything. It's like, holy cow. So the app is going to have to make calls, you know, proper calls to the OS and to the I/O capabilities. But it's not going to be, they can't like memory jump segment into the OS space, like a, you know, even though we do all the security protection.
It's hijacking.
Yep.
Very difficult.
Very difficult.
I'm not going to say impossible.
I'm not going to say impossible either.
It's beyond my level of expertise about that.
But it's going to take someone to be able to jump across. Yeah. You know, they're going to have to understand how to get through that. That's going to take a lot of work and more power to someone that can do that. I know a couple people that possibly could. But I don't think it's something that they could do easily.
Coolness, though.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, and the great thing about it is then you have, what is it, for 10 years, we're going to offer operating system updates. So for the OS and the firmware for that. That's the biggest problem you have nowadays. You don't get any updates. And there's, you know.
You have no idea what version you're running, what distro you're running, the different things that are on there, where it came from. That's why they're concerned with baby monitors and light switches and other stuff like that, what they're doing.
Well, and the biggest thing is when the remember we had that big DDoS attack a while
back?
From
cameras, wasn't it?
It was from internet cameras and like access points, like the home Wi-Fi router access point. Because they were Linux distros and they hadn't been updated in forever.
Mm-hmm.
And even after all the security people had told, you know, these companies, go and fix your products, they said, oh no. It finally took several of the companies the fact that that DDoS happened and it was found to be their devices that were part of the problem.
Yep.
Finally, they did some updates.
So,
but others that did say, nope, that's end of life. You just need to buy a new one.
It's definitely coolness in that space.
Definitely
to see where coolness. It goes. I'm anxious to see where it goes from there.
Yeah. For sure.
I don't have any yet. Don't have access to it. In case anyone's wondering.
Yep. Neither do I. I do have, I mean, there's a part of me that just wants to play with it.
Of course.
And try it out and figure out something to use it for. Because that's like, that's going to be awesome. But like they were talking, I was listening to a podcast earlier today. They were talking about, you know, everybody, a family may have, you know, back in the day, a family would have one PC for like four or five people. You know, this is back when PCs first started coming out. You know, nowadays, yeah, a lot of families have one PC for everybody.
Right.
But you definitely have at least one mobile phone for everybody in the family.
Close to it. I know my family does.
Yeah.
Not every family does.
Not every family, but very close. At least the adults do.
Yeah.
With IoT, I've already got 12 of these dang switches in my houses. You know, it's like, holy cow. This is why IoT, yeah. I mean, it, you know, things are smaller. Obviously, PCs are bigger, that kind of thing. But man, whoever gets in front of this IoT stuff is really going to lead it.
Very, very cool.
And I really, really do like the fact that we've Microsoft focused on the security side.
It's an enterprise play.
It is. Well, it's not just enterprise. It's also consumer. That's the great thing about this. Are you going to die on me here?
I'm sorry. I've got this tickle that will not go away.
Okay.
I'll take a momentary pause to recognize Mr. Sean Logan coming in just before a flight.
Oh.
Before he has to take off. I noticed that Switch hasn't popped in to say hello, and he's
I've
fine,
noticed that.
So
yes,
you know, poo poo on you.
Yes, exactly.
But Peter Gray's here now. Steve Enns finally showed up, which is nice.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yep. The slackers up north.
Slacker. He's the one that said it, not me.
So I don't know if anyone's noticed, but they've painted the room here.
They did paint the room a little.
They will actually be props behind us at some point.
Yep.
They actually consulted with the team here and our creative director.
Yes.
About what types of things we should have behind us. And they went with the shelving option to be able to change different things in and out.
In fact, actually, I was told by GoldenAss, they're going to have boxes from the Microsoft Archive that we can go through and pull stuff out.
Nice, that we can just periodically go in and throw new things on the shelf.
Yep, so
exactly. Stay tuned. There'll be a whole theme every show that will be changing stuff around.
You can do that theme. I'm not going to do that.
That's going to imply that I get here early enough to do something.
Exactly.
So,
which means you probably have to have your kid drop you off before going to school with your car.
Well, this time I'm using my motorcycle because it's nice outside. I'm supposed to be going for a ride this weekend. The Seattle area, a bunch of Microsofties created this charitable organization called the Tulip Ride.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tulips are in bloom up north.
Yep, in the Skagit Valley, yeah.
And so what they do is they partner with the Seattle Humane Society, and they sell tickets to be able to do a guided tour.
Very cool.
Up to the tulips and then back again and then that sort of stuff. But unfortunately, I can't do it this weekend.
Because of the kids?
Because of the kids. And my wife's back.
Mm.
So
that sucks.
I've just donated the money instead. So the doggies and the kitties and the bunnies and that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
Get looked after.
Well, I was just had dinner last night with a good friend of mine. She's now the deputy director of the Imagine Children's Museum up in Everett.
Oh, yeah.
Great charity. Great little children's museum. If you're in the Seattle area, head up there. If you got kids of any age, I would say up to even middle school.
Up to 25.
I had fun in there. But then again, I say I'm like a seven-year-old.
I love museums, man.
Oh, and this is, I mean, hands-on, cool stuff. They are just starting a major fundraising drive to do a major expansion, mm-hmm. a $21 million expansion.
Wow.
Yeah, they think it's going to take about 4 or 5 years. I give every year to the charity, and the great thing about it being at Microsoft is it gets matched by Microsoft.
Yeah, that's good.
And the fun part about it for me is, at least I feel, as I give it a level where they normally give the people that are donating a free membership. And the other thing you can do is donate the memberships back,
so then
it can go to a family that's in need. So I love doing that. And this year was the first year I finally said, you know, if Microsoft's matching and I can give, you know, and I get a membership, doesn't Microsoft get a membership too? I mean, it's at the same levels.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Ed Ledowski's said hello, and he says, hey, that sounds like a cool ride to be able to go up.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I did that ride again. I did last year's ride.
Yeah.
It was a half decent weather, but it was freaking windy.
Mm.
And you see these little tiny bikes being pushed
by the wind.
Because there's a chunk up there where you're right off by the sound.
Yes.
And it's farmland, so the wind just comes straight across.
Straight across, yep.
Which was rather precarious at different points.
Yeah, we were lucky this past weekend the wind wasn't too bad driving up through that area.
Yeah.
Because the year before when we did SharePoint Saturday Vancouver, we were at the... had a storm, similar kind of storm like we had last week, and I was like, oh great, because and last year they actually canceled all the ferries from Vancouver Island, which dropped the attendance.
Yeah
because you had a whole bunch of people coming over from Victoria to attend. So
that's rough.
It is.
Beer money story for myself. I'm
beer
trying
money.
To think if I even have one this week or not. Not really.
Not
honestly.
Really?
Okay. It's been a slow beer money week this week. Not too much stuff going on that I've had to worry about trying to help. Not enough beer.
Yeah.
we can move on. I guess I'll pass this week and I'll go off to beer talk instead.
Oh, okay.
Beer talk. I mentioned,
I've been sticking on meds, so I haven't had any.
So I know you haven't had any, so you're jonesing for some.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a competition happening tomorrow. Which is the annual. We call it the Brewer's Choice Showdown.
Yep.
Which is a homebrew,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot of fun. Everyone that can come is a judge, the people that do stuff. This year I've entered in a English ale with ginger,
mm-hmm.
which I have no idea how it's going to do.
Should have entered it with Marianne.
It's good. We'll see how it goes. I just got that.
You just got that.
That joke.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm slow today. Again,
it's all right.
No coffee, only coconut water.
No.
I thought I went to sludge. So that one there's going on. I actually helped a friend of mine brew beer for the first time a couple of weeks ago.
You were talking about that.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. Yep. He had a fun time.
Good.
He should be entering into secondary. I need to touch base with him for what to do. And then we're going to go off and filter it and keg it and have it go from there, which should be fun. He made a juicy IPA, I think it was called. And it's basically a citrus IPA. That's why they call it juicy.
Oh, gotcha.
And... I got my results back from the National Homebrewers Competition.
How did they come back?
So I came. I donated. I put in 3 beer to the national competition into the Portland entry. I did not finish in the top 3. I wasn't expecting to.
All right.
I did get my judging sheets back.
Okay.
And I just missed getting a certificate because they give certificates for different categories that you get into.
Right.
I just missed them with the certificate. So
darn.
Not bad. I think I shot maybe a. If I was looking at my grade score average, I think I was probably around the 65 to 70 range out of 100. So not too bad.
Yeah.
But common stuff I could probably fix. You know, it's the first time I was bottling beer with a gun.
Heck yeah.
So that's, you know, a skill I need to learn apparently.
Honestly, the first year, that's the big thing you want is commentary.
Yeah, there's the commentary notes that are coming back. So I'll be sharing those in detail with our beer group to talk about it. And I actually have beer left over that is still bottled that I'm going to give to you so you can make your own notes and comments and come back and tell me what you think.
Okay.
And you're supposed to give me constructive criticism when I pass them along to you.
And are you going to use
active listening when I...
I will receive the feedback in a positive way as well.
Okay.
I appreciate it. So...
You're full of...
So I'll be doing that. It was kind of fun. And I've got no other beer brewing lined up, but I'll be working the bar on Saturday.
Gotcha.
With stuff. And I do believe one of our listeners will be joining us
The
show. Mr. Bartolo is coming into town, and I think he's going to arrive in time to be able to try some of the beer.
I see.
We'll see how that works. Don't know yet. We'll find out.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Good. Is he coming into town for next week?
There's an event next week going on that he's part of for his group.
Yep.
And I'm hoping to be able to get him out for some pints.
Very nice.
And you're away all week?
No.
I thought you said you're gone all week.
No, I'm just going for the weekend.
The weekend?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're back next week.
Yeah. Okay. And Mr. Art is
Art's around too, isn't he?
Yep, he'll be around, so...
I think we need a good excuse to go to BBC.
I think we do, too.
I still have not picked up any of my gear, and I'm hoping that it's still around, but I really don't care, because I heard that they just they have a new IPA on that's unfiltered IPA, it looks like.
They have actually a strong English ale.
Oh, yeah?
Which is just below the Scottish ale.
Yeah, but for above. Alcohol level.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of... It's kind of between the, I don't know what I think the pale ale might be below it, kind of.
Yeah.
And so it's not quite as malty as the Scottish ale, but it's not too bad. So can't wait to try that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we got a good excuse.
Now we got a great excuse
to be able to go off and do it.
For sure. For sure.
Peter's actually asking a perspective. What?
Can you request a perspective, Rick? Yeah.
What? Does he want to... What? He wants to try my beer or something?
I don't know.
I can't see it.
I
don't understand. We'll see. I don't know what he's saying.
I don't want to request for a perspective, Rick.
Do you have any desire to make beer in the near future at all?
Possibly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're waiting to see? Nothing's...
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking I need to come up with some good summertime.
I've got a full fridge, man.
Yeah?
I've got a full fridge. And
my taps are starting to get low again.
Well, I got cans.
Wow.
So I should possibly bring a few cans over.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Good.
I've been... the new feedback tool. He's asking for feedback from the new feedback tool.
Oh, okay. Yes, I could do that. You know what? I'll set up a Microsoft form. That we can use.
There we go.
To be able to get input back on how the beer tastes.
Okay, there we go.
People.
But no, I'm curious. I'm wanting to play a little bit with the Scotch ale recipe a little bit, tighten it up, make it better, see what we can do. Get that wee heavy going. You know,
the wee heavy.
Yeah, because the last time we tried to do the wee heavy. The yeast died.
There was some nasty stuff that happened. There was some cross contamination.
Yes.
I definitely think we need to do it again. The wee heavy and that sort of stuff. It's more of a fall beer than a summertime beer.
Man.
I know. But it's
Mr. Pineapple is a pretty nice summer beer for me. But
yes. Someone
pineapple
actually,
infused.
Who is it?
Hefeweizen.
Aubrey is mentioning that maybe we should go off and make a pickle flavored beer, and he could call it Pickle Rick.
Oh my goodness! So nice to see Aubrey these days.
It's been a while.
Yes.
And also, Peter Gray is asking for an MS Poll style review of the beers that we could do. it's like manager feedback.
Yeah.
The feedback tool we could do.
Exactly.
Is a possibility.
That's always fun. My manager is like, you know. We always have fun in our team room, and we always mention something. And he goes, "Hey, you know what? MS Poll's closed. I don't have to be nice to you guys anymore."
Oh, nice!
As a joke, and it's like, nice. Oh, come on. No, I've got a. In fact, that was actually we got semi reorged this week. So, but we stayed the same. We had another team join us. So we got a bigger team.
Cool,
worldwide.
So, cool. I had an offsite on Monday with the other half of the new team that came by.
Nice.
There was a open source enterprise software group that was under a different team that joined my group, which was the Azure Linux team, because obviously we work together. Linux is more than just open source software.
Linux?
Hmm. Yeah, so it made sense, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
People I'd already been working with now simply part of the same team, which is good.
That's super helpful.
Definitely helpful for collaboration.
God, yes.
It's coming up.
But we got build coming up.
Build coming up next in the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
I'm more into getting the we need to add this to session, we need to add that to session, kind of the kind of emails that are flying through. Plus, I'm also being pinged by folks trying to get their content into a Corey session that I help wrangle every year.
I had to laugh because, you know, being in the build system, we see a whole bunch of build cues for blah, 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 demo, blah, 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 demo, blah, 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 demo.
Yeah.
And we get a lot, we've been getting a lot of escalations of, hey, my build didn't work. Yeah. And here it is. And you click on the link and send it, blah, 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 demo. And the build's not working. It's like, okay, you guys.
Let's nurse this along, guys.
Oh, and it's fun sometimes dealing. It's fun sometimes because it's like, wow, you're playing with them, trying to figure things out. In other cases, it's like you asked for 15 builder units and you only have 10 available.
Right.
It's not going to build until you get 15.
Nice.
Yes. But.
Random spending. Have you done any?
Oh, my God.
I've done some.
The whole time I was down with my shoulder and a little bit here while I was sick, I kept Amazon running.
Oh, man.
Oh,
kept the lights on.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's been
anything notable that came up?
Let's see here. I was just going to take a quick peek.
It's your, like, it's your shopping list.
Exactly. I've gotten a lot of little things that are, you know, like filling in gaps and stuff. So that's been the biggest amount of my spending. I don't know about you. I had a whole bunch of like, oh, I, you know, need this. Oh, I need to add this. Oh, the big thing actually was like right after my, surgery was I didn't have proper ice packs.
Oh yeah. To keep your shoulder in check.
So I got these, ice packs. I got this really cool one. I show you, it's these little gel pearls. It's this one right here.
Oh, yeah.
And you can heat or cool with it. I now bring it to work every day. Like this weekend when I go up to Orcas Island, I've got that. Yeah.
Holy crap, man. You're not joking.
I know. I was going crazy. I got some. The other thing I got, because I got this lovely mouse, I actually got a second one of these mice.
Yeah.
So I have this one that's my personal mouse. Then I have one for work. Well, my problem was at work, I was connected to my desktop via USB, but then I couldn't connect to anything else because it was Bluetooth. So I got a Bluetooth connector for my desktop at work.
Nice. Yeah, I had to pick up one of those for similar reasons as well.
$19. I got a great one. And it's the latest standard and everything. It's great. And it's a real thin, like you plug it in, it only sticks out about 3/8 inch. It's really nice.
Fish tank stuff. For me.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Imagine trying to repopulate the fish tank. So, water test kits.
Ah, okay.
To make sure that my nitrate and ammonia levels are correct.
I wonder why that's so.
Well, I already told you I replaced the heaters with titanium heaters as opposed to glass heaters so they can't shatter.
That's good.
So I'm going to eliminate that from a disaster. And from a disaster recovery perspective, I bought two heaters as opposed to one heater. So they run in parallel. And then there's a temperature probe that goes off and kicks off. But if one of them dies, then the other one will still continue to work.
Nice.
But the big thing is that they're solid metal so that they can't shatter, which is
good.
Good.
So
no more electrical fish.
No more electrical fish.
No.
Maybe an electric eel, would that help?
Well, so you can't put fish into anything. So basically I've got this tank running for the last couple of weeks now with doing nothing but filtration and keeping things moving to build up the healthy bacteria that goes in and keeps the levels correct and also brings stuff back to life. And then eventually, after an inspection by the SPCA, I'll be able to allow fish back into the house once again.
PETA, the SPCA, a whole bunch of.
It's all there.
So we need to get 3 work safe words. Yep. It looks like we have one.
Uh-oh. Which one?
Bose.
Do you not use brand names? Bose? I guess we can.
Yeah,
sure, why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Bose. Why Bose? Well, can we talk Bose? I know we're sponsored by Bose.
Yeah,
we're self-funded by ourselves buying Bose.
In fact,
sponsor Bose, actually.
Yeah, we do. I don't know if we talked about Bose today, but I know why she brought up Bose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just realized from a spending perspective, I also bought brakes for my Jeep.
Ah.
That's why I have brakes in the back of my Jeep right now.
Gotcha.
Because so I bought brakes. Stop. So I can actually stop. But while I was under there looking for brakes, I realized that a bolt was sheared off of my connector arm to the axle, which was causing my Jeep to dive to one side whenever I braked. That's and it was a $4 bolt.
Yeah.
$4 bolt that I had to buy.
Nice.
To be able to fix that.
So we got Bose and Sphere. We need one more word.
Oh, nice. That's
and
good.
We'll actually see the band starting to join
shuffling.
In.
They're shuffling.
There we go. There they are. So we have another lovely show today.
Yeah.
It was fun.
We passed it. We passed the check marks. We did the things. We had the conversation with folks. We'll say hello and thank you very much for everybody coming out here with, of course, we can never see everybody unless you comment.
Right.
Mr. Pierre, we got Mark, we got Julia, Tyler joined us there. Nice to see you, Tyler. Peeler, Aubrey joined in, and then we got Stephen Enns finally joined us, Sean Logan, Peter Gray is in there too, all the way down at the bottom.
Ed
There's
some
people, man.
We got Ed Lukowski, and
I can't even go to the very, very bottom. They
Tyler.
They cut something off. Bartolo was here too.
Bartolo was here for a bit.
Wow. We need a better roll call.
We do.
We might have an app for that.
Might so.
We have two words though.
Does we have two.
The third word.
I don't know, but we're gonna have to get going here because the band is wrapping up. Mm-hmm. So, have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Talk to you later.